Ever had that experience where someone's talking to you and you hear the words, but somehow the message just doesn't quite click? It's like the sound reaches your ears, but there's a disconnect on the way to understanding. Today on the Deep Dive, we're tackling that very puzzle by exploring auditory processing disorders, or APD.
That's a fascinating starting point. You've shared some truly compelling information with us, and what we want to do today is map out for you the incredible journey that sound takes, you know, from your ear to your brain.
Right.
We'll also look at what happens when that journey encounters some, let's say, unexpected roadblocks.
Yeah.
Think of this as your personalized exploration into the complexities of listening.
And to help us navigate this intricate landscape, we'll be drawing on the knowledge of experts in audiology and related fields. We'll be referencing insights from Professor Ali Dinesh, as well as Dr. Rebecca Anderson and Dr. Harley Atkins. We'll also touch upon the foundational work of Jack Katz and the insightful research of Rick Saul and Dr. Nina Kraus.
Good stuff. And, you know, to really grasp what might go awry in APD,
Right.
it's important to first appreciate just how robust our listening system is. It's built with incredible redundancy, like having multiple backup systems, starting from your outer ear all the way to the auditory cortex in your brain.
Okay, this idea of redundancy is key. Can we unpack that a bit? What does that actually mean when we're talking about hearing?
Certainly. There are essentially two layers of this backup system. First, there's what we call external redundancy. Think of it like this. When someone speaks, the sound itself is rich with information.
Okay.
There are different frequencies, changes in loudness, the rhythm of the speech. All these cues help us understand the message.
Right.
Then there's internal redundancy. This refers to the multiple pathways within your brain that are ready and waiting to process that sound information. It's like having several different highways your brain can use to get the message across.
Yeah.
This incredible backup system also means that minor disruptions often go unnoticed, which can sometimes make APD harder to pinpoint.
So it's not just one direct line for sound to get to our understanding. There are multiple routes and multiple types of information being carried.
Exactly. And our goal in this deep dive is to give you a clearer picture of what auditory processing involves, what kinds of challenges can disrupt it, and, you know, how the experts approach figuring out what's going on and how to help.
All right, let's trace that journey of sound. We start with the peripheral system, the outer, middle, and inner ear. We have a general idea of how that works.
Sure.
But what happens once the sound leaves the inner ear, that's where it gets really interesting. The central auditory pathway, or CAP.
Absolutely. The CAP essentially kicks off when the eighth cranial nerve carrying the auditory signals enters the brainstem. This happens in a region called the pons.
Okay, so the sound information makes its initial entry into the brainstem. Where does it head next?
From there, it travels to the cochlear nucleus complex, or CNC, also located in the pons. Now, what's fascinating here is that the CNC isn't just a single processing center. It's actually made up of three main areas, or nuclei: the anteroventral cochlear nucleus, AVCN, the postroventral cochlear nucleus, PVCN, and the dorsal cochlear nucleus, DCN. Think of these as specialized substations within the main processing hub.
Specialized how? What do they each do?
Well, while each contributes to the initial analysis of sound, they have slightly different focuses and contain different types of nerve cells. But, you know, for our purposes today, the key takeaway is that this is the very first stage of more complex processing in the brainstem.
Okay.
After the CNC, the auditory information continues its journey to the superior olivary complex, or SOC, which is also located in the pons. This is a really critical point
Right.
because it's the very first place in the brain where information from both of your ears comes together. Difficulties here could manifest as trouble localizing sounds, a common complaint for some individuals with APD.
So this is where our brain starts to compare the signals coming in from the left and right ears. That must be important for knowing where sound is coming from.
Precisely. The SOC has several important parts, and two key ones for sound localization are the lateral superior olive, LSO, and the medial superior olive, MSO. The LSO is particularly good at analyzing differences in the loudness of a sound as it arrives at each ear,
Okay.
especially for higher pitched sounds above 3 kHz.
And the MSO, what's its specialty?
The medial superior olive, or MSO, is more sensitive to tiny differences in the timing of a sound reaching each ear. This is most crucial for lower pitched sounds below 3 kHz.
Okay.
So your brain is cleverly using different cues, loudness for high sounds, timing for low sounds, to pinpoint where a sound originates. It's like having two different but complementary ways of mapping the soundscape around you.
That's amazing. So the SoC is like the brain's internal GPS for sound. What's the next stop on this auditory highway?
The processed auditory information then travels up through the higher brainstem via a pathway called the lateral lemniscus, and then reaches structures in the midbrain, the inferior colliculus, and the medial geniculate body. Think of these as important relay stations, where the signals are further refined before heading to the highest levels of processing.
And the ultimate destination in the brain.
The final destination in this neural pathway is the auditory cortex, located in Heschel's gyrus, which is part of the superior temporal gyrus in your brain. This is where the most sophisticated analysis of sound takes place.
We talked about redundancy earlier. How does that play out as the sound travels through this central auditory pathway?
Right. At every level of the CAP, there are both connections that stay on the same side of the brain, ipsilateral, and connections that cross over to the opposite side, contralateral. It's like having multiple lanes on that auditory highway, ensuring that if there's a disruption in one, the information can still get through via another route. In fact, fibers from each ear ultimately project to both sides of the brain. This extensive network underscores the importance of having that backup system.
So if one pathway encounters a bit of a bottleneck, there are alternative routes for the information to take.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for a more practical understanding, we can broadly divide the CAP into the lower brainstem, the midbrain and higher brainstem, and the pathways leading to the cortex.
Let's zoom in on that auditory cortex for a moment. I understand it's not just one single area.
That's correct. A key feature, as Professor Dinesh points out, is its tonotopic organization. Imagine your auditory cortex like a finely tuned piano keyboard,
Yeah.
where each key or neuron is specifically sensitive to a particular pitch. Low frequencies are processed in one area and high frequencies in another, creating a frequency map within your brain.
Ah.
This frequency map is why certain types of sounds, like maybe high-pitched speech sounds, might be harder for some individuals to process.
That's a really helpful analogy. So different parts of the cortex are attuned to different pitches. What are the main jobs of the auditory cortex?
Well, the auditory cortex is crucial for identifying and distinguishing between different sounds, recognizing a dog barking versus a phone ringing, for example. It also plays a vital role in figuring out where a sound is coming from. It's further organized into primary, secondary, and tertiary areas, each handling increasingly complex aspects of sound processing.
Right.
The primary auditory cortex is where that initial frequency analysis happens. The secondary areas seem to be involved in processing more complex sound patterns, like melodies and rhythms. And the tertiary areas help integrate auditory information with other senses and with our understanding of language.
And I've heard that the left and right sides of the auditory cortex have slightly different specialties.
Yes, that's right. In most people, the left auditory cortex is dominant for processing the rapid changes in speech sounds,
Yeah.
which is essential for understanding the words themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It also tends to have more white matter, suggesting faster connections. Interestingly, damage to the left primary auditory cortex might result in a loss of conscious awareness of sound, but because of all those subcortical pathways we discussed,
Yeah.
reflexive responses to sounds might still be present.
And what about the right hemisphere? What does it focus on?
The right hemisphere, on the other hand, is often more involved in processing the more musical aspects of sound, like rhythm and prosody, the rise and fall of our voices that conveys emotion. It also plays a role in fine-tuning our ability to distinguish between different pitches and in understanding the more nuanced aspects of language. This division of labor explains why someone with a left hemisphere issue might struggle with the words while still picking up